Our scripture reading this evening is Hebrews chapter 13, the concluding chapter of the epistle to the Hebrews, which contains many exhortations, many of which are fitting for an old year's or a new year's service. We'll take as our text this evening verses 15 and 16 of the chapter. We'll read the entirety of the chapter. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Our text, again, is verses 15 and 16 of this chapter. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we together, as a body, as brothers and sisters in the one Lord Jesus Christ, come to worship. Part of our worship tonight is looking back upon the year that has gone by. Not simply to arouse in ourselves sentimental feelings for the good things that have happened, though there's a place for proper sentiment. But so that in looking back, we can see how God has been our guide and how He has led us through another year of this earthly pilgrimage, and how He has been so good to us. We look back on the year gone by and we are reminded that as Christians called out of this world of darkness into the marvelous light of our Savior Jesus Christ, we're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're citizens of another kingdom. This world is not our home. We're passing through. And the end of the year marks the end of another stage in that pilgrimage toward heaven, toward the eternal city. And so as we finish 2017, that year of our Lord, and enter into the year of our Lord 2018, the calling comes to us to fix our eyes and our hope and our faith not upon the earthly things around us, but upon heavenly things. It's so easy to become preoccupied with things of this earth. Even as we reflect on the year gone by, all the changes that have happened, many good, births, marriages, many good times with family and friends. There's been sorrows too, deaths, loss, hardships. But here we have no continuing city. Verse 14 of Hebrews 13 reminds us, we have no continuing city, but we seek one that is to come. And because of that, because we seek this city that is to come, there's implications for how we live our lives, how we have lived our lives in the year gone by, and how we must live our lives with a view to the year ahead. Notice that our text is introduced by that important word, therefore. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That word indicates that the writer to the Hebrews is drawing a conclusion from what he has said in the previous verses, especially verses 10 through 14. And in those verses we read about the marvelous work of Jesus Christ, our High Priest, His atonement for our sins. And that's the basis. That's the reason you and I have that home, that continuing city in the heavens. That's the reason we are on this pilgrimage. And now we are called for that reason to live in this way, to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips. What is one of our callings in the year ahead? It's that. We're to offer ourselves to God. By that we mean we are to offer ourselves up in worship and in thanks for everything that He has done, for Christ, for our internal inheritance, for our church, for all our fellow saints who we hold dear. Thankful praise and worship. That is the life of the pilgrim on the road to heaven. A life of thankful service and sacrifice to our God. So let us consider this exhortation of the Word of God under the theme, offering our service of thankful sacrifice. Notice in the first place, the service of our lips. Secondly, the service of our hands. And finally, how we offer this service. The Word of God, as it comes to us in our text, is an exhortation. It's a call to render unto God sacrificial service, the sacrifice that He is due, the sacrifice of praise and thanks. We read that in verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And then the rest of the verse unpacks what that sacrifice of praise is. It's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now let's see what that means. In the first place, we need to understand the Old Testament imagery that is behind this exhortation of the Word of God. Here, the author to the Hebrews is drawing on the Old Testament worship of animal sacrifice, drawing on that imagery to teach us something about the kind of worship that we are to offer as New Testament saints. And that's an interesting thing, is it not? The church and the worship of the church is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and yet, by looking back on those Old Testament shadows and figures, they cast light on the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the center of worship, as you know, was sacrifice. Think of what went on in the tabernacle as the people of Israel went through the wilderness on their way to Canaan. And then later, after the establishment of the monarchy, when Solomon constructed the glorious temple in Jerusalem, what was the heart of God's people's worship there in the temple and in the tabernacle? It was sacrifice. The shedding of blood. The priests would receive from the people and offer on the altar, which was the center of service, animals appointed to death. Their blood was shed, and they were burned upon that altar, and the smoke rose to heaven as a sweet-smelling savor to God. Sacrifice. And I know there were a number of different sacrifices that the Old Testament people of God performed. Scriptures reveal that there were especially two that were of the most significance. There were sin offerings in the first place, and secondly, there were thank offerings. Now, sin offerings are probably the ones we are more familiar with. The offering of an animal to picture the sacrifice necessary for sin. That animal was slain upon the altar, and its blood shed for the atonement for sin. We read of that in Leviticus 17, verse 11. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. God's teaching his people something there in this sacrificial service. The shedding of blood is a picture for those Old Testament saints of what is required to enter into God's fellowship. Sinners deserve death. The wages of sin is death. God's justice must be satisfied. The penalty for sin must be paid. And so the animal, as a picture of that offering, the guilt of the people was placed upon that animal, and it was slain for the sins of the people. Now, of course, these animal sacrifices were powerless to cleanse the people's sin. You read Hebrews 10, verse 4. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. That wasn't their purpose. Those sacrifices pointed ahead to Jesus Christ. They pictured for the saints in the Old Testament Christ, the coming high priest, and the coming Lamb of God who would take away their sins. So even in the Old Testament, through these sin offerings, the heart of worship was Jesus Christ. So that's the first kind of offering in the Old Testament. But there were also thank offerings. And these offerings were sacrifices that the people of God offered to God in the temple or the tabernacle, not as a picture of the atonement for sin, but as an expression of the thankfulness that dwelt in their heart for God's goodness showered upon them in the year gone past. gone by, all the material blessings of the harvest that he had given them, but especially the blessing of forgiveness of sins, of fellowship with him, thank offerings. These offerings were often not bloody. They consisted of unleavened cakes or bread that was offered to God. You see the beautiful picture there? The people took the fruits of the harvest. They took the good things that God had graciously given them, and they present it back to God as an offering of thanks. Thank offering. Now, for us in the New Testament, the sacrificial service, the sacrificial worship of God's people has been permanently transformed by the once and for all sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the whole argument of the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the one great high priest. After the order of Melchizedek, he came and he offered the perfect sacrifice. Not only is he the high priest, he is also that perfect sacrifice. He offered the perfect sacrifice of his own body, spilled his own precious blood. And his sacrifice, unlike all of the Old Testament pictures, perfectly satisfies for sin. The sins that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away, his blood has taken away. And he has entered then into the tabernacle not made with hands. And he has obtained for us eternal redemption. And thus we read in Hebrews 10 verse 18, there remains no sacrifice for sin. The sin offering has been given. But in the New Testament church, the thank offerings continue. You see the connection here. We no longer bring blood sacrifices to God. Those pictures have passed away. We have the Lamb of God slain for us. But in response to that great gift of salvation in Christ, we bring thank offerings of praise. We are a holy priesthood. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 tells us. We're a peculiar people called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. We're appointed to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. We're called to present our bodies even as living sacrifices acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. In the New Testament, the worship of God's people sacrificial service that has been transformed by the once and for all sacrifice of Christ. What is the thank offering that we bring then, that we are called to bring? It's the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Now that idea of the fruit of our lips, the service of our lips, that's not a reference to lip service, of course not. Lip service being the insincere speech of one whose heart is not in the worship of God. Speech that contradicts the attitude of one's heart. That's a danger in worship. The service of our lips is the words of praise and thanks, the prayers, the songs that we bring to God that are the overflow of our hearts. The fruit that has grown from our hearts by the work of grace in us that we bear to God in the words that we speak, the songs that we sing, and the prayers that we bring in our worship and in our life of worship. This idea of the sacrifice of praise, of the fruit of our lips, is another beautiful allusion to the Old Testament. It's an allusion to Hosea 14, verse 12. where we read this. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. You see what the prophet is saying here. As he calls the sinful, wayward people of Israel to turn and to repent, he calls them to pray to God for forgiveness. Take away our iniquity, deal with us, and receive us graciously, and we will render the calves of our lips. There's that idea, even in the Old Testament. The calves, the burnt offerings of the lips. Not the formal sacrifice. The sacrifice of a broken heart, given expression through the mouth in worship. Calves of our lips, the fruit of our lips. That's our sacrificial service. And the offering of this fruit of our lips is a response, people of God, to God's goodness to us. Just as the thank offerings in the Old Testament were the people's response to God's goodness to them. And what a wealth of reasons we have to be thankful, do we not, people of God? A wealth of reasons. God has been with us in the year gone by. He has promised to go forward with us in the year ahead. We have the promise of eternal salvation laid up for us in heaven. We have the word of the gospel proclaimed to us week by week. We have His word, the Bible, in our homes. He has provided for all of these things, our spiritual needs. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's given us our church home, our church family, these brothers and sisters sitting around you. He's given you your immediate families sitting around you, your good Christian homes. And we deserve none of it. Are you moved, people of God? Are you moved in your heart, thinking back on what God has done, His goodness toward you? Does that make you want, desire, earnestly desire to bring forth the fruit of your lips, to offer this sacrifice of thanks, to bring it forth out of the abundance of your heart? Grace brings forth worship. And may it be with us. May this be our response to the year that has gone by. As we sit here in church, the most fitting place we can be at the close of the year. Together as a body, many have been our joys, many have been our sorrows, but our response to the joys as well as to the sorrows is thanks and worship and praise. Because we know that our eternal God, our eternal refuge, has given us all of these things and is working and has worked all of these things for our good. The Word of God tonight calls us, offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, giving thanks to His name. And we are to offer that sacrifice to God, the text says, continually, continually. Not just on old years, not just on the Sabbath day, but continually. This is the life of the pilgrim. This is the life of the Christian in the world. It's one unending doxology of praise to God for the bountiful blessings of His salvation. A doxology that is never interrupted by the hardships of this life. An unending doxology bearing the fruit of our lips. That is the service of our lips. There is also the service of our hands that the text draws our attention to. We read of that now in verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Here we have a necessary corollary, or something that comes right along with the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, that we are called to bring to God. Do good. Be mindful. Be ready to communicate. Don't forget that. To be active. Now, what does this mean? Well, to do good simply means to be busy in well-doing. It's a broad category for the loving, good deeds that Christians are called to engage in among one another, especially within the household of faith, but also unto all men, as the Lord gives us opportunity, unto our neighbors. And the focus is not so much on the ethical quality of the act, though that is important, that it be good, that it's in harmony with God's law, but the focus here is on the effect that our works have upon our neighbors. Be busy in well-doing. Be busy in doing good to your neighbor in the church and wherever the Lord places you. Doing good. Good that reflects the beauty and the goodness and the grace of the God who has so called us and saved us. Good deeds. That's what the text is speaking about here. That's just the broader category. The focus is more on the second word. To do good and to communicate. The text commands us to communicate. And to communicate here literally means to commune. To have fellowship with. The idea is not to keep the lines of communication open, to talk a lot, but it's to have fellowship, to enjoy the company of others. The idea then is that we are called to give of ourselves, of our time, of our resources, to help and benefit our neighbor in the church and the neighbor who crosses our path. The same idea is found in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. Here Paul exhorts Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Though this exhortation is addressed here in Timothy, especially to those whom God has given much wealth, we see how in Hebrews, in our text, it's broadened to apply to the entire body in light of the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming, in light of the good God has done for us. Let us be ready and willing to communicate, to give generously to those who are in need. The wealth, the possessions that God's given us, they belong to Him. And He tells us how to use them. He's not given them first and foremost to us for our own enjoyment, but to do good and to communicate with our brothers and sisters. He's given us our time. He's marked out all of our days from eternity. But He's not given us that time for ourselves. He's given us that time so that it might be used in His service. And as the text makes clear, one of the ways we use it in His service is communicating, doing good, blessing our fellow saints. This means seeking the good of your brother and your neighbor. Physically, yes, but spiritually. Taking an interest in the lives of the fellow saints that sit around you in church. Communicate. Know them. Know what they're going through so that you can help them as the Lord gives you opportunity. There's so much more to communicating than simply being here and being a somewhat active member of the body. It's giving of ourselves to do good and to communicate. People of God, this word comes to us as a congregation. It's an exhortation for us to take heed to as we end a year and as we look forward to the beginning of a new year. And we can be thankful, truly thankful for all of the communication, all of the well-doing that we have experienced as a congregation in our life together. Not because we're so good, but because of what God has done for us and how much of that there has been, how much of it has been done quietly and unnoticed. You think of all of the work, for just one example, of the committees of the church and the service of us as a body. It's the work of the deacons ministering to the needs of the poor, the downcast. Many of us don't know how much they do. It's the work of the helping hands. It's the work of the women who have made meals for a saint who is in a time of trouble, unnoticed, noticed by God. There's the simple things like picking up the elderly saints and bringing them to church. Such a simple act of service. And yet it's exactly here that the text is commanding us to do things like that. Communicating. It's working with the special needs children, visiting the sick, the elderly, and the lonely. So we see it's no coincidence that the word for this kind of well-doing among the body of Christ is the same word for fellowship. This is what knits us together as a body. Mutual service. Communicating. Much to be thankful for. But let us not overlook the warning that the text gives us in verse 16. The text tells us, forget not to do good and to communicate. And the reason that the writer to the Hebrews phrases it this way is that is our natural inclination, is to forget these simple things, these good works in the life of the congregation. It's a danger. It's a danger in the first place to think that we have done enough when we offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. We come to church, we worship, and that's our participation in the life of the congregation. And it's an even greater danger that we see opportunities to serve, and yet, thinking we've done our part, we let them pass us by or run the other way. We can come up with all justifications, all kinds of justifications for this. Someone else will do it. My gifts and abilities really don't give me what I need to help that person. I've got my own busy life to take care of. Forget not to do good and to communicate. This, just as the sacrifice of praise and the fruit of our lips, this is service that we render to God out of thankfulness. Doing good and communicating is a response to the grace of God. It's a response of gratitude. The love we show to one another in the church, even those small acts of love, why do we do them? Because God first loved us, and we show His love to our fellow saints in this way. He who has received the grace of God happily performs these deeds of service. Service of our hands that we perform for the brother and the sister. These are acts of service that God is well pleased with. You see how verse 16 ends. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We don't often think about doing good and communicating in the church in that way. They're sacrifices of thanks to God. And He's pleased with them. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 40, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." This is important. It's important to God. Thus, let us perform this service for God's sake, out of thankfulness to Him. Doesn't really matter what we think of our brothers and sisters in the church. We serve because we love God. Now, how do we offer this service? The text answers that in the very beginning of verse 15. Let us by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. By Him. And that Him, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. By Him, through Jesus Christ, our High Priest, we bring to Him the sacrifice of thanks, the fruit of our lips, and we bring to Him the sacrifice, the service of our hands, as we minister to our fellow saints, as the Lord gives us opportunity. Both of these we bring to Him as worship through Christ. Christ, our mediator, who stands between us and God, who represents us before God's throne. And our sacrifices of praise and of well-doing, they are only possible because of what He has done as our High Priest, His one sacrifice, His sacrifice on Calvary, has opened the way for us to God. And it's through Christ as our intercessor and our advocate. Our High Priest, after he made His sacrifice, did not cease to work on our behalf. He ascended on high. He sat down at God's right hand. And there, in heaven's sanctuary, He ministers for us continually. He receives the prayers and the worship that we offer, our sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. He purges it of all of its impurity, and He presents it to the Father. Same thing with our weak service. The weak service of our hands through Christ is presented to God as a sacrifice that is pleasing and acceptable. Because of Christ's intercession, our blemished sacrifices are as though they are unblemished. Through Him, through faith in Him, stands behind all the service that we do in the church. It's out of faith. Faith in Christ. By faith we lay hold of Christ. By faith we hear His word. By faith we receive His word into our hearts. By faith we are strengthened for these acts of Christian service. By faith, we lift up our voices and our hearts in praise and in worship. By faith in Christ, we work our acts of love for our fellow saints. It's by faith in Him, through Him. People of God, as we go forward then, in the year ahead, may we heed this exhortation of the Word of God. May we be a people that delights and desires to offer up our sacrifice of praise in worship. May we be a people ever looking for opportunities to serve in the body, willing to do good, ready to communicate. May we do that with our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ and the God for whom we do these things, for His glory. The Lord Jesus is coming quickly. May He find us ready, and may He find us an active and lively congregation. Amen. Merciful God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace that Thou hast given us, which penetrates our hearts and which brings forth fruit. We thank Thee that we can come to Thee and worship Thee and bring to Thee the sacrifice of our praise, service of our lips. Strengthen us also to serve Thee with our hands by serving one another, by doing good to our fellow saints, by being willing and ready to communicate, to give of ourselves. And in this way, may we not only glorify Thee, but also grow up together as a body, strengthened in our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may walk this pilgrim path together to the home that Thou art preparing for us in everlasting life, in heaven with Thee. Bless us and keep us as we end this year. Go forward with us in the year to come. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.